Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the call on Wednesday, the 8th of August, 2018, at 1300. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the AC room. Please mute your lines if you're not speaking at this time. Thank you. If there are any participants who are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourselves be known now? Thank you. Hearing no names, as I stated before, please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will turn it over to Anne Beth Lang. You may begin.
Thank you, and welcome, everyone. Before we start, I would like to say a few words about the order of the agenda, since it has been discussed on the email list. There has been a suggestion to alter and discuss non-HB names first, but the co-chairs have decided that we need to get started on explaining the process of consensus calls, so we take that first. The Work Track 5 is a special case, since it consists of members not usually participating in GNSO processes, and that means that many are not familiar with the consensus process. GAC has their process, and CNSO have theirs, and ALAC theirs, so it is important to understand for all the members that WorkTrack 5 is part of the GNSO process with their way of using consensus. We therefore found it necessary to go through it more thoroughly before we are moving on. Even if members from GNSO, which know the process from before, find this a little boring, we hope it will be useful for all of us to get a better understanding. We also consider it useful to, if possible, to get some of the less controversial issues that have been discussed for months off the table now and concentrate on more contentious issues. Before we go on, are there any changes in the SOIs? I hear none, so I go on to the next slide, please. One more, so then we start. And the standard way of making decisions is included in Section 36 of the GNSO Working Group Guidelines, and you'll find the link here to go into it later. It all starts with draft recommendations based on deliberations and input from the group and meetings and email lists. The recommendations will be reviewed and revised. And the standard steps of a consensus call are: after a group has discussed an issue long enough for all issues within the item under the discussion to have been raised and understood, the chair or co-chairs in our case make an evaluation of the designation of consensus or agreement, if you will, and publish it for the group to review. Possible designations are full consensus, consensus, strong support by significant opposition and divergence. Minority views refers to proposal where a small number of people support the recommendation, and this may occur in response to any of the designations above. Co-leaders will then send their evaluation of the designation of consensus levels by email prior to the call where the item will be discussed. After the group has discussed the co-chair's estimation of designation, the co-chairs will re-evaluate and publish an updated evaluation. Steps 1 and 2, which described above, should continue until the co-chairs make an evaluation that is accepted by the group. Next slide, please. It is important to understand that consensus calls are not about voting. The designation consensus is a position where only a small minority disagrees, but most agree. It does not require full agreement by every individual, and full consensus exists when no one in the group speaks against the recommendation in its last reading. Once WorkTrack 5 finalizes recommendations for the initial report, the full working group on the new GTLD subsequent procedures PDP working group will consider the recommendations and taking into account public comments. All recommendations will go through a consensus call in the full working group, and the final consensus call won't happen until the working group is putting together the final report and after the public comment period on the initial report. This is a layered approach. Before we move on to the next issues on the agenda, are there any comments or questions on that? And here I must have help from the staff if you go into the details. Come on. Any hands here? Christopher? Christopher, I can't hear you. Christopher?
I have unmuted.
Yes, no? Now I can hear you. I can hear you.
Okay. Just to say that there is in the previous slide, there is an internal contradiction referring to strong support from significant opposition. You know, either it's criticism and opposition, if you like, or it's support, but I'm not quite sure what strong support from a significant opposition is. So I believe that that's a rather ambiguous phrase in this document. But at this stage, I have no further comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Christopher. Emily or Cheryl, does anyone have an answer to Christopher on that?
Hi, this is Emily from staff. I can speak to that, unless Cheryl would like to.
No, go ahead. I'll jump in if needs be.
Okay. So, Christopher, that's a good question. Just referencing Section 3.6 of the group guidelines, strong support but significant opposition is defined as a position where, while most of the group supports a recommendation, there are a significant number of people who do not support it. So that's one of the categories in the working group guidelines that can be a designation of consensus level. So I hope that's helpful. Thanks.
Ms. Annabeth again. Yes, and I see that in the chat it's a good explanation as well. So it might be a typo there. So we'll sort that out. Olga, your hand is up.
Annabeth, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Thank you. Sorry for my voice. I have a horrible cold. There is a question in the chat about if there will be opportunity to comment before the document goes.
Will there be an opportunity to comment before the document goes out for public comments? That's the question.
I think the question it means that if we as a group will have a chance to review the full document with the recommendations and agreement before it goes to public comment.
Mm-hmm. Emily, can you answer that?
Well, Chair, here, I can certainly answer that if Emily doesn't mind. And not only as I thought Annabeth went through very, very clearly, Cheryl and Janelle for the record, in your deliberations, you all should have plenty of opportunity as you generate the text and agree on what you can agree on. Your final recommendations, if and when you agree upon them, once you agree on what you can agree on, will be going to the full plenary before, in an ideal world at least, certainly in the plan, before it would go into a initial report and out for publication anyway. So I guess the answer is yes, on several occasions. Thanks, sir. Back to you, Annabeth.
Thank you, Cheryl, for making that clearer. And Javier, you have your hand up.
Yes, this is Javier Rua for the record. Yeah, on this point, on as Annabeth mentioned early on, you know, this consensus call process is really, you know, part of the ongoing temperature gauging of the ongoing opinion of the World Track, and as you know, as Cheryl says, it's there's really no. There's no finality to it. It's an important step, of course, but it's part of our communication process here to know where we're at and start and that's why we also are taking some of the topics that we have found to be in some ways there's preliminary. Consensus or some agreement or not, so we've read over several of these topics once or twice, maybe three times. So, and we will continue to do that, of course. So I mentioned this because from the email list initially, I think I perceived some reactions that I think are based a little bit on the notion of perhaps this different definitions of consensus out there, or the idea that somehow consensus is an election or a vote or some sort of vote that predetermines things. Again, I think we should not be overly concerned with finality on this. It's a step. We're moving an agenda forward, of course, but I think Annabeth's explanation of what this is and what isn't would be the comments by Cheryl and Emily and others that can chip in. I think there's other people that have a lot of experience with consensus calls in this call that can also help us all out to ease our minds on the idea that a process is moving, in final ways when it is not. So that's my comment right now. Thanks.
Thank you, Javier. It's Annabeth again. And what we are trying to do is to find a predictable way so we can establish some agreement to any recommendations we are planning to send to the PDP as a group, and then later on to the wider ICANN community. So this step in the agenda was to try for us to explain a little further on the consensus call process. As I said in the beginning, it's quite new for a lot of us since we are not used to the GNSO processes. But it's important to remember that Work Track 5 is part of that wider process, and that's what we are working with. So I think we go on to now to the short summary of the road ahead. So we just go through the work plan that we have started with and the target date for the publication of the Work Track 5 initial report is the 30th of September 2018. We know that it is ambitious, but we will try to follow it. And this timeline for Work Track 5 fits into the overall timeline of the new GTLD subsequent procedures PDP working group and allows us in Work Track 5 for our recommendations to be fed into the overall PDP before it completes, and that's important. The leadership team has developed a work plan to map out steps to publication of the initial report. But this document may be revised by the leadership team as work progresses. It depends on how fast we can work and how the input comes from you as well. Questions or comments?
This is Javier for the record. I see a comment by Jorge Cancio on the chat. He's restating this concern and expressed before, and also by other GAC members regarding the schedule. To that, I think we can say that yes, we know it's demanding. One of the reasons why we're moving forward with the strategy, set out in today and informed in the earlier emails, is really to keep on moving in a way that everybody can understand and agree to. But yes, I mean, there's no denying that we are. World Track 5 in many ways is almost in every way is playing catching up to the other World Tracks as possible. My hope is that we can continue at this pace and have something good to show before the Barcelona meeting, and that's the wish of I think of the World Track in general. But we understand, of course, the concerns that we've heard these concerns on the aggressive, not the aggressiveness, maybe the speed of things. We have heard that, but we know we can move forward at a decent speed and do a good job. That's my reply to Jorge, but thanks for the comment.
Thank you, Javier. It's Annabeth again. And we completely understand that the GAC has another way of doing things, and they have to take into consideration a lot of things. So we of course, will try to listen to that as much as we can. So, Christopher, you have your hand up, and then Alfredo Calderon.
Yeah, Christopher Wilkinson. I have a schedule, but if I look back over the past 6 months, it's taken us this long to reach two, frankly, anodyne recommendations on the ISO aspect. So I'm not particularly optimistic about the schedule down the road, but we'll try. Thank you.
Thank you, Christopher. Alfredo?
Yes, this is Alfredo Calderon for the record. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Okay, so I just need a point of clarification. When we were saying that by September 30th we'll have the document ready for public comment, how does that fit into the timeline that the World Tracks 1 and 4 have? Thank you.
Cheryl, could I ask you to answer that?
Certainly. Cheryl Langdon, for the record. Because at the allowing for public comment to come in that timeline after whichever quarter you want to talk about it, the end of year period, it allows then for public comment to be looked at by your work track and it to be hopefully integrated back into a final report with work tracks 1 to 4, which of course we will be we can republish if you wish the timeline for the full PDP. If your aspirational timeline is not met and the Work Track 5 initial report does have to run with a out-of-sync final report with the Work Tracks 1 to 4, that would be highly regrettable, and we'd do our best to avoid it. So one of the reasons Jeff and I are keen to support and staff are keen to support your co-leads in this timeline is to allow for integration back into a single coherent final report with any follow-on reports from Work Track 1 or to 4 that may occur. That's yet to be determined. And there's a slide which we will send out to the mailing list, if you like, Dave, don't worry about pulling it up now, but let's send it to the mailing list, which we've used in several public meetings now to show how these timelines should integrate. Thank you. Back to you, Annabeth, so you can get back into the primary agenda.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Annabeth, again. And it's a chat note from Kavu Sareste here that we do not want the pressure to be put on WorkTrack 5 while other working groups, WorkTracks, will be given more flexibility to complete their works afterwards. My impression is that this is not the way it will be. But Cheryl, again, how do you interpret that sentence or that fear?
Well, thank you, Cheryl Langenor, again. I think a highly aspirational timeline, such as you've put together, is not unfair or unreasonable pressure. It's exactly what it is, a timeline which, if you can pull it off, if it works as you plan, will allow for integration with the rest of the PDP process. The other work tracks, as Kavus may have heard, those who participated in all of work tracks 1 to 4, whilst they got the initial report out, complained similarly. In fact, I think Kavus's voice was one of those complainants about the pressure that was put on them. So work track 5, believe me, is not being treated in any different way. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Javier, you have your hand up, and Christopher Wilkinson. And then we must move on to the rest of the agenda. And after you, the two of you have spoken, Javier will take over the lead. Perhaps we can take Christopher first. Yeah.
Yes.
Christopher, you're on mute.
That's better, Christopher Wilkinson.
Yes, it's better.
Just to go on the record, that can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hear me not muted. There's some latency in this mute button. Just to recall that the proof to the initial report for the PDP, in effect, protects WorkTracks 5 from pressure from the WorkTracks 1 to 4. It is recognized that the WorkTrack 5 is as necessary an independent exercise. Now, I'm obviously in favor of full integration, but there are so many issues on which WorkTrack 5 questions will interfere with WorkTrack 1 to 4 that I think the preamble of the PDP documents is essential. Thank you.
Thank you, Christopher. It's noted. Javier, will you take over?
Yes, this is Javier for the record. And I was going to comment on what Christopher just mentioned. WorkTrack 5, we all know, has a different speed or schedule than the other work tracks, and we're the bosses of our own work tracks, and we should determine our own speed on this. But at the same time, and to answer also other comments by Christopher. I mean, I think our work track, we've been discussing topics sometimes back and forth, and sometimes early on we were doing a lot of circles. By setting out a clearer, a more granular, a more precise timeline today, I mean, we've always announced, the Barcelona meeting as a type of goal. Generally, but now we're being a bit more specific and a little bit, we're talking about September, a bit before Barcelona. We've always discussed that, but now we're just going into more detail, and that also, protects us from ourselves in the the natural, you know, the natural instinct to go over and over, you know, conversations and try to, you know, as much as possible, generally settle some of the topics and then keep on moving. So just that's on that. So this is a slide on the work plan. There's an initial report target date for the end of September. That's basically almost a month before Barcelona. I hope we hit it. I think we'll hit it. The timeline for World Track 5 fits, we have discussed this. We fit into the overall timeline in our particular way. But as Christopher mentioned, we are not under the pressure of the other work tracks. We're under our own pressure. And we have developed this map, this work track, this work plan. And it's an ongoing, you know, living document. We're always checking our own decisions, our own speed. It's nothing is completely written in stone. And if our goal is to reach consensus here, as much as we can on the topics, and we'll keep on working for that. Next slide. Next slide. So to the substantive, or before the substantive, consensus call we're suggesting, there are some comments, let's see, on the chat. Tabus asks or posits, a note to Secretariat, would it be possible to identify the total number of GAC participants? Okay, please take note of that. Anybody else have any comments before we go into this slide? There are multiple people writing in the chat. I see Stephen, Cheryl, others. Okay. Hearing none, I'll keep on going. So, country and territory names. As we have mentioned in prior calls, we did some temperature gauging in San Juan. There appears to be some, we use the word convergence. I don't want to get mixed up on terminology, but some type of agreement or convergence on future treatment of country and territory names. We have asked the community, we have asked the work track. Generally, we have had calls on this. And the email that was sent out, by Colita Martin, reflects these areas of convergence. It's a draft that reflects these areas of convergence or general agreement on ways forward on country and territory names. And these draft recommendations are, generally consistent with the 2012 AGB, except for the topics that are listed here. Before I read this, I saw quite a large comment on the chat here. Carlos Gutierrez says on the chat. General comment on this consensus call on the August 8th draft document, number 2. As I have noted my written comments to the draft recommendations on the list, I want to restate my comments that the drafting style in which the present so-called recommendations do not fully reflect neither the full range of the deliberations nor all the group input as per the GNSO consensus call rules. Draft recommendations based on deliberations and group input, unquote, the only segment of each of these proposed recommendations that gets close to a real recommendation avoids taking responsibility for the substance of the recommendation by suggestion to send the issue back to the committee without any procedural consideration. Okay. I don't know if Carlos wants to speak on this. I think he's referring to the part of the recommendations. There's a part in the recommendations that has some language regarding future consideration of the topic by the ICANN community. We can look into those language, and I and the co-leaders, really, we all want you to submit your changes of drafting or recommendations on these particular texts that we sent out by email. Maybe there's some different draftings, ways to draft these language that can be done. So going on with this, draft recommendations are for the most part consistent with the 2012 applicant guidebook, except, number one, for long form names listed in the ISO 31666-1 standard, short form names listed in the ISO 31661 standard are separable components of country names designated on the separable countries' names list. Change translation in any language to translation in official languages of the country and the official UN languages. This part of language is important because one thing that I don't think we have discussed enough is if the word track wants to stick to some existing list of languages that will be used, maybe official UN languages or something to this effect. I don't know if anybody has any comments on the issue of languages, and I see Annabeth's hand up. Annabeth, go ahead.
It's Annabeth Lang here for the record. I just wanted to remind that these recommendations we are talking about now is only on country and territory names, and when I see some of the comments in the chat. So this is not for GOs in per se, but what we are discussing today is for the country and territory names. And as for the languages, what we had before was all languages. We have been discussing some that it's really difficult to find a way to have all languages preserved in a way. It's so many languages in the world. So therefore, a suggestion from several has been to restrict it to the official language of the country and the UN languages that we all know who are. Thank you. Back to you, Justin. Christopher has his hand up.
Yes, Christopher, go ahead. Thank you, Adam.
Yeah, Christopher, very, very briefly in response to Annabeth, this is very close to a proposal I made a long time ago. But please note that this should be in any script. There are countries where it's all very well to have the country name in any language, any official language, and the UN languages, but in some countries, the script is important too. So I think we should just add in any script or any applicable script or something like that. Sorry to interrupt.
Thank you, Christopher. That's a good suggestion.
No. Yes, thank you, Christopher. Thank you, Annabeth. Does anybody else want to comment on the concept of maybe sticking to UN official languages and their scripts, as mentioned by Christopher here? And would be I see Jorge's hand up. Jorge, please go ahead. Jorge, are you? We can't hear you. Okay, so we'll keep on going here. So he muted. Jorge, your hand is up. Maybe if you're not going to speak, put it down, please. So on screen, we have some of the specific recommendations. Greg, please, if you're going to quickly go ahead.
Thank you. Greg Chatton for the record. A question about process, but it really is very important with regard to how we answer these recommendations, is whether we will be putting together finite lists where those lists don't already exist in a third-party area. Obviously, ISO 3166 Alpha 2 exists, so we don't need to make our own list. But if we're talking about other languages or scripts that are not listed, how are we going to know which ones are in and which ones are out unless we create finite lists? And the IGO-INGO reconvened working group that just delivered its recommendations to the GNSO Council, we were very conscious of the fact that we had to create a finite list, not necessarily a closed list that could be amended if there were new countries that or new societies, but it was in fact a finite list, in part needed for technological reasons that the a reservation has to be seen, and but whatever the reason is, we need to be clear that we're doing finite lists where there isn't already a finite list available. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Before I see Annabeth hands up, but I think that's basically that's what we're trying to do. So the initial position seemed to be very, very, very open, like all languages, which is evidently unworkable. And as Christopher and Annabeth mentioned, that we're you know, maybe stick to some finite list, as you mentioned, which, I mean, the list of UN languages, you know, I don't know if there's a list of the scripts in the UN, but the list of UN languages is, I think, pretty, the UN official languages, maybe I was referring to. Annabeth, go ahead.
Annabeth here. Well, one thing is that Roger has problems getting on sound here, but he says, please read my comments in the chat out. As long as there is no factual basis for the limitation in languages, I would tend to object to the change from the 2012 AGB. So I think that a lot of the governments have this view that the UN languages is a way, of course, because we know who those languages are, but it's quite few, and many other countries will perhaps have problems with that. I don't know why, but I think that Tosha should have the opportunity to pencil this out a little more before we decide anything. It's a lot of opinions on this here. Another thing he has put in the chat here is also about the two-letter or two-character that was in the AGB, and now it's taken out and only is letter, and the letter character or letter digit is moved on to work track 2. And the reason for that is that it's not considered to be within our scope, since one letter, one digit is not a designation for a country in a way. So, but that doesn't mean that you can't, anyone can give input to the Backtrack 2 initial report, and the initial report is out now, so it's easy to give input on that and explain why it's not a good idea, if that's what you feel. Thank you. And Greg is on has his hand up again. Greg?
Greg, go ahead. No, he apparently was an old hand.
It was an old hand.
So, moving on, if nobody else has a comment at this point, we have on screen, you know, the specific recommendations by you know, that have been drafted according to the prior calls, et cetera, that were sent out, and to include some of the corrections and tweaks that, you know, we thank the work group for sending out so many you know, good emails as always you know, in the past few days. So I guess we can go, you know, over each again. just for the interest of everybody. So going down to recommendation number one, and I just put the document in my whole screen so I can't see who's commenting on the chat or raising their hand. So Annabeth and please and Olga help out if and interject clearly if need be. So in recommendation number one, I'm going to read it out. The work track recommends reserving all two-character letter-letter ASCII combinations for existing and future country codes. The starting point of this recommendation is section 2.2.1.3.2 string requirements, part 3, 3.1 of the 2012 applicant guidebook, which states applied for GTLD strings in ASCII must be composed of three or more visually distinct characters. Two characters ASCII strings are not permitted to avoid conflicting with current and future country codes based on the ISO standard. So, does anybody want to comment on this first bullet of this recommendation here generally? Okay, so we can keep on moving on. The WordTrack's recommendation specifically addressed letter-to-letter combinations because the focus of the WordTrack is on geographic means. The WordTrack considers letter-to-letter combinations to be within the scope of its subject area. The WordTrack notes that WordTrack 2 of the new GTLD subsequent procedures PDP working group is considering two-character letter-number combinations. This recommendation is consistent with the DNSSL policy contained in the introduction of new generic top-level domains policy recommendation from 8 August 2007. It is consistent with provisions in the 2012 applicant guidebook. Any objection to this, the general drafting of this recommendation here? I see some comments in the chat. I see, I'm sorry if I mispronounce your first name, Desalyn Yehuala. The WordTrack file is about geographic and territory names at the top level and exists, it's about geographic and territory names at the top level and existing label generation will prevent top level names having digits. Thanks for the clarification. Other comments, we have Jorge. I have repeatedly made a comment on letter character combinations that might be similar to two-letter country codes. Please consider it. Thank you, Jorge. He was replied by Steve. Thanks, Steve. Greg also made a comment. Thanks, Greg. I see a hand by Annabeth. Annabeth, go ahead, please.
Thank you. It's Annabeth here again. I just wanted to make a note on the sentence in the recommendation number one that it says that this recommendation is consistent also with the provisions in the 2012 applicant guidebook. That's not completely correct because in the 2012 applicant guidebook we had two letter or two characters. It was not letter-letter, it was two characters. Even if a letter and a digit is not a code for the country, that was the text in the 2012. And another issue is that it's kind of changing the system if a two-character domain name should be a GTLD, but that's another matter. That should be handled in the WordTrack 2 since it's been taken in there, and everybody is free to give input. Thank you.
Thank you, Annabeth. I see some comments. Christina Reset, she says, for clarity, I suggest a slight revision to the recommendation with suggested change here, she says. And it, my cat moved again, sorry. She says, I don't know if Christina wants to speak because this chat is moving so quick that I can't find it. Okay, so Christina says, The work track recommends reserving at the top level all two character. Does anybody want to comment on this revision, the suggested revision? Thank you, Christina. I see Heather gave a plus one to Christina's revision, and also Paul McGrady and some others. Thank you. I see a lot of support in the chat for this revision. Thank you, Christina. I see Christina writing again. Okay, very good. So, anybody else want to comment on recommendation number one in terms of the drafting? One, this is just an idea. I just reading this. The recommendation, I see Cavus has his hand up. Cavus, please go ahead.
Yes, a simple clarification. In bullet one, in the third line, two character. Is it two letter character, or it is something else? When you say two character, character may be a letter, or character may be not a letter. So could we clarify when on third line I say two character, are we talking two characters that could be letter? Or are we talking of the two characters that would not be letter? So could you clarify that, please?
Of course, Davos. Thank you for your comment. So I don't know if it could be improved, but yes, what the group work that has focused on is letter combinations. The word character in that text in itself might sound broad as including other characters that are not letters, but yes, it's letter, and I see Emily has her hand up. Please go ahead, Emily.
Thanks, Javier. This is Emily Barabas from staff. So to clarify a little bit, the scope of the recommendation for this group is focused on letter combinations for the reasons that were discussed previously regarding the fact that letter combinations that are geo names. The quote from the applicant guidebook from 2012 talks about two character ASCII strings, and that encompasses all two character ASCII strings, including letter number and letter combination. So none of those were only GTLDs had to be three or more characters in length in the 2012 round, which is why the current recommendation is sort of a subset of what the text was in 2012. So I hope that's helpful in explaining why the term character is used in that quoted text from the applicant guidebook, whereas the term letter combination is used in the recommendation itself. Thanks.
Thank you, Emily. Cavus, I hope that answers your question. We have always been clear we're talking about letters. I see some comments in the chat. I see that Raul, and Jorge are sticking to their guns in terms of a wide variety of relevant languages to be used and we have to keep on thinking about this then, because I see there's some views on for and against the idea of official UL languages so maybe we can go ahead to and look at the next recommendation if there's no objection. Any objection? Hearing none, let's go to number two. So recommendation number two. The work group recommends continuing to consider the following category, a country and territory named, which is reserved and unavailable for delegation, as stated in the 2012 applicant guidebook, section 2.2.1.4.1, I think, for an I, it's very small. And the bullet is alpha 3 code listed in the ISO 3166 standard. These recommendations are a revision to the GNSO policy contained in the introduction of new generic top-level domains. And this is the same language as before. I see Christopher has his hand up. Christopher, go ahead.
Thank you, Javier. Christopher Wilkinson, for the record. I didn't want to intervene on the previous recommendation, but I have two general points. The first is substantive. In the final paragraph under this recommendation, we say the ICANN community may want to consider whether a future process, etc., shall be established. I think to anybody reading this from any public comment, for example, or subsequently, would be forgiven for saying, well, you know, what has Work Track 5 been doing? If this is an option, and we strongly imply that it is an option, why haven't we done it? I think this applies to several of the recommendations. If we are offering governments and other entities, other interested parties, the option to register some of these strings, I think that's the kind of thing that most people think WT5 ought to have been doing. I don't agree with kicking down the track. And that final paragraph should either be deleted or we set up a subgroup or a simple text drafting by the secretariat and the co-lead to say how this should be done. Nothing like as complicated as some of the other things that we're going to have to deal with. So I have a problem with that last paragraph. I suppose my second point is secondary and resigned to the fact that you probably won't be able to pay attention to it. But looking at this exercise from the outside, the constant references to the 2007 text are frustrating, if not misleading. There is no way that everybody who looks at this matter for public comment or even for implementation will be able to go back more than 10 years to 2007 to assess whether or not they're doing the right thing. I have said this before, and I think it is a mistake on WT5 and indeed the Secretariat. It is a mistake to reference the 2007 documents. We've got enough problems to deal with revising the 2012 documents. But my first point is more substantive. You can't wave this option in front of everybody and then say, oh, but we didn't do anything about it. No, if you want to have that last paragraph in each of these recommendations, WT5 should say upfront how we propose that the interested parties, such as governments and local authorities and whoever else, can exercise this option. Thank you.
Thank you, Christopher. Thank you for your comments. And Christopher, for everybody's benefit, of course, is focusing on this paragraph, the one that says in all the recommendations, I think. It's this paragraph, the last one, that says the ICANN community may want to consider whether a future process should be established to determine if, when, and how specific interested parties, such as relevant government authorities, may apply for country and territory names. I think Christopher suggested that paragraph be completely deleted. I'd be interesting to hear from the Work Track, whether deletion is the way forward, whether partial deletion is the way forward, whether keeping it as is. I haven't heard anybody speak on this too much here. So maybe Greg and then Annabeth, you have points on this? Greg?
Thanks. This is Greg Shatton. For the record, I was actually going to respond to Christopher's second point. And remind him that this is, a continuation of the work of the GNSO policy recommendation process that issued policy recommendations in in 2007, and as such, that is what we are following on, as well as on the various permutations and mutations that took place between that time and the AGB and other things that we're stuck on. So I know that Christopher is not a fan of the conclusions that were reached in some cases in 2007, and maybe other people aren't, but we can't pretend that that's not part of the process we're involved in. So it would be a huge mistake, and one I don't think we have any danger of making, to take away references to the 2007 GNSO policy recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. And you know, I see Jorge had this up. I'm going to refer him, you know, before Annabeth, just for he hasn't spoken yet. Jorge, go ahead. You have to unmute and go. So
I think hello, do still you
have Jorge,
okay?
I have unmuted your line.
Hello, do you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Yes, I'm clear.
Hello, thank you very much for giving me the floor, and sorry for the technical issues. I wonder whether I could just go back, at least for the record, on the languages issue. And I think there are two aspects or two sides on that. First side is, okay, how do we get from the 2012 AGB with all languages to this new recommendation? Why are we deciding this? And I don't see any rationale, and I don't honestly recall any factual basis for making this change. So I think that is a very important procedural point. And as long as we don't have a basis for making that change, which is commonly understood and accepted, I think we should keep the things as they were in the 2012 AGB. The second point as to substance is, as I mentioned in the chat, is first, UN languages is a very limited set of languages which in many countries are irrelevant or largely irrelevant. And official languages is a notion that exists only in some jurisdictions. For instance, as far as I know, the US has no official language. In many other countries, you may have a similar situation where languages are not official as such, but are used by the administration or are used by the people to different degrees. And thirdly, as I said also in my comments, in Switzerland, for instance, we have four national official languages, but we have many other languages which are very relevant to important communities in our country, which amount to about a third of the population, and it would make no sense whatsoever to include the four official languages under a regime, but to exclude other relevant languages from that regime, although they are used by very important parts of the community. So I think that there are both reasons of procedure and of substance for really taking a break on this change from the 2012 AGB and to really think it over and have a discussion on list or on a call or whatever. Thank you.
Thank you, Jorge. And yeah, it's a good point. So well, as you know, as chair, then I'll take this opportunity to ask the whole World Track, what do they feel? Do they have strong objections? Does anybody have any strong objections on keeping the, you know, the current in any language, quote unquote, in any language, unquote, language that is currently in force, instead of revisiting that? Does anybody have strong objections on keeping the current wording of the that's in the books right now? I see hands by Annabeth and Tavus. Please, Annabeth, go ahead.
Thank you, Annabeth, for the record. Actually, I wanted to comment on Christopher's first, and Greg said what I had to say about the 2007 versus the 2012. It's actually two different things. What we are doing here is to try to see if the policy of 2007 should be altered. Even me from the CCNSO side have learned that this is what we are doing. And it's a long time ago, and 2007 is a policy, and 2012 is more an implementation. That was the result in the end. And I think this is one thing. And the other thing that he took up was this sentence on the that we want to consider whether a future process that was brought up in San Juan. And the reason why, if I remember that correctly, is that a lot of people think that country and territory names are outside the scope of the of the GNSO, and that it should be considered in another kind of the working set. With more with CCNSO and the countries, and it should not be a GTLD in the end, and that's why it was suggested to set down something after this process of new GTLDs has finished to find out a way to use country and territory names in different forms. That's how I remember it. As for languages, I think it's a good question to ask, as you did, Javier. Do we really have, does anyone have very strong objections of keeping the languages as it is? I agree with Hoshe that the UN languages are, it's kind of a historical selection of languages made after the Second World War, and it's not the way the world is today. So a lot of other languages could be more relevant than those are on the list, and at least as relevant. So this is perhaps not the right way to do it, but we have to ask all of you, are there strong objections, and will it create many problems keeping it as it is? See that in relation to that country and territory names really is a kind of a borderline between CC world and the G world as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Annabeth. Tavus and Greg, in that order, hopefully on this issue of language. Go ahead, Tavus.
Yes, the UN official language has a political background back to 1945. I don't think that sort of constitutional divisions or description of language should get into the technical and administrative issue of the GTLD. So I agree with the two comments made by Jorge, and I don't see any reason why we have to change. Unless we have a strong, valid reason, we should not change that. So I fully agree with two suggestions or comments made by Jorge. Thank you.
Thank you, Tavus. I see Greg. Go ahead, Greg. I think you have a different opinion here.
Yes, Greg Chatton for the record. Yeah, I have strong concerns, objections to the all languages standard, and I'd be curious to know where that in the process that got into our guidebook in the past. Just because something's in there doesn't mean it was reasonable or rational at the time. After all, a camel is a horse made by a committee. So the problem is this: it's unworkable, it's unlistable, it's unexistible, it's unpredictable, it's not transparent, and it just, you know, tries to set the broadest possible net. And again, if we're talking once more about preventive lists, this is, you know, reservations. This is, we're talking now about reservations, which is the, you know, the strongest way in which a string can be held back from use, or at least held back from use by anyone other than, you know, some rightful claimant under some claiming process, whatever that may be. So that goes back to the discussion we've been having the last couple of days, that by using a canon to solve all of our problems, we lose any chance at nuance in solutions. Whatever the word for Canada is in Inuktitut, and maybe that's a bad example because that may actually be a quasi-official language. Hopefully we could find that out. But, you know, there's, as I said, 40 languages spoken in my son's school, and that's one school in New York City with only 600 students. And it's not a diplomatic school, by the way. It's just a magnet school. This is just a way of, you know, piling up as many geographic names as possible, which overall, as a general concept, I object to, especially when using the preventative method, which is supposed to be the method used with the most care and restraint. Hopefully we can get back to our discussion of methods, and I thank Jorge for putting his suggestions back in the chat about how to you know, make the consent method perhaps a little more nuanced. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Okay. There's an echo in my line. Tabus, is that a Mohan? Okay, so I can hear myself. Yeah. Echo, it's gone. Perfect.
Better.
So on the language issue, we heard, thank you, we heard some support by a few TRAC members on keeping the broad any language text, and very, very strong opposition by at least Greg on having a broad, you know, text there on language. But we have to see what we can work out there. I do think that the, you know, thinking back on this, that you know, UN official, you know, UN official languages list is a pretty, it harks back too much to post-colonial, you know, messages and could, you know, who knows. So I see a hand by Carlos Gutierrez. Go ahead, Carlos. Carlos, we can't hear you. Sorry, Carlos, I can't hear. Carlos Gutierrez? We have only 15 minutes to go here. And is it 15 minutes? Yeah. So we have to keep on moving. Carlos, go ahead. Carlos. So, sorry, we couldn't hear Carlos.
Sorry. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Okay, my hand was raised the first time on recommendation 2. It goes very similar to some of the previous comments, so I'm going to be very short. I strongly object overall restrictions, the big canon policy that Greg just discussed, on any recommendation other than recommendation 1. I accept it on recommendation 1 for tradition, but if we are going to argue for restrictions in all other recommendations, they need to have a rationale. And there is no rationale for keeping restrictions in recommendations 2, 3, 4 and following. And my second comment goes in the same direction of Chris Wilkinson on the last paragraph. I don't fully agree with Chris, but I agree with Javier that the last paragraph has to be discussed and maybe redrafted. Only the last paragraph is the first step in the direction of a real recommendation, if the World Track 5 takes the responsibility and doesn't just send it back to the community. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carlos. Yeah, I was going to go back to that last paragraph mentioned by Chris. I think that's a very important paragraph. I see the concerns of what it looks like. Maybe we can have on the chat and on the list, you know, suggestions on drafting or you know, tweaks on drafting this paragraph. Christopher suggested deletion. I wonder if this paragraph could be tweaked to send a message that the community can support generally. But I hear your strong objection, Carlos, and I hear Christopher's strong objection and others that I've seen on this future process language in the that informs every recommendation. So please let's look at this text and let's try and focus on specific recommendations on maybe deleting or adding and focus on that very specifically in chat or in email in the maybe the next day. And maybe we can delay next. Maybe we can put an email out on how to do this. But this is, I think this is very, very important. So there's
It's only 10 minutes left.
Yeah. So let's keep on going. Thank you, Carlos. We have other recommendations here, and I think that the World Track has read them. I think. The general concerns that might persist by some track members on these recommendations are the same. I mean, for something like this last paragraph, the paragraph that starts the icon community, et cetera, may want to consider them. That informs every recommendation. Maybe we could focus on enhancing that for even more consensus here. Please, Caboose, quickly. It was an old hand by Caboose. So, yeah. So the work that has I trust have read over these, and if anybody has more general comments about the other recommendations, please state your piece. Go ahead, anybody.
Please read my comments in the chat, please.
I shall. You can go ahead and say it, Bruce. Go ahead.
Yes, I put some comment in the chat with respect to the language. Thank you.
Okay. So please, I don't know if I can find it right now. Bruce says, if you want to retain reference to UN official languages, we may precede that by including but not limited to read, including but not limited UN official language. Thank you, Caboose. So again, to the whole team, to the whole Word Track, we have, as we mentioned earlier in the call, we have read and over these ideas. There's some preliminary agreement on this way forward. Today we've heard concerns about that last paragraph by some, Chris, Carlos, others. We've heard concerns on the language issue. Let's keep on working through that. I think we're moving. This is great. So please, anybody wants to speak on the recommendations before we move on? Any other concerns, objections before we move on the recommendations? Seeing none, let's keep on going to other parts of this slides, please, Steph. I think we have some like housekeeping slides on. Oh well, yeah, non-ADB terms. I don't know if we want to start with the non-ADB terms. Next slide, now. But I mean, we all know in this work track what non-ADB terms is, which is terms that are not in the ADB, that are geographic in nature. I've seen there have been some back and forths in the, including me on the email. I even have put out a fun, I think a fun hypothetical out there to start talking about this with more detail. Some wanted to put this issue early on before the other issues like Chris, but I think we have to focus on the next few calls on this, on non-ADB terms, on detail, on problems on that we perceive might exist. That's why I put out the, you know, a hypothetical out there on Apache Helicopter Corporation. Maybe that's a problem that could be quite a solution. Maybe it's not. And other topics here that have to do with names of geographic significance to peoples, countries, upstate peoples, linguistic groups, and others, and how we can move forward on non-ADB terms. I think I've always said, and some have always said since the beginning, there's a great chance on this topic to innovate and to do interesting things for the community and for applicants and everybody on this topic. I don't think we have time to go into this on detail today, and even less wrap up. But I think there's some good discussion starting out that started out in the mail list some time ago, and it's restarting now. I think this is the subject of a very specific next call. It's a topic that is, I think, again, a great chance to innovate. I see a hand by Paul. Paul, go ahead.
Thanks. Paul McGrady here. So I don't know whether we're supposed to talk about these hypotheticals on this call or if we're supposed to do them on the list, but Apache helicopters are a great hypothetical. The Apache tribe, as far as I know, is a North American tribe, and it may be purely within the United States. The United States has legislation protecting against claims that goods or services are produced by Native Americans when they're not. And if somebody were using .Apache helicopter to claim that the Apache tribe were making helicopters, then there's already legislation in place to deal with that. So it's a terrific example of how this sort of thing should be and can be handled by national or local legislation, and a great example of why ICANN should not be in the business of trying to become the international legislature on these sorts of topics. So sorry if I was supposed to say that in the mailing on the list instead of in the call, but when I saw that hypothetical, I thought, what a great example of something that's actually already been handled by national legislation, and a great example of when ICANN should, you know, not run ahead and try to become some sort of Congress for everybody. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks. Yeah, great discussion. I want to discuss at this granular level this type of thing, and thank you. And I can think of other hypotheticals that could be helpful that might even be more complicated than that one. I can think of a country that is opposed to a subnational applying for something, and how would that work? How would that work out? And should I can get into that? So I think we can keep on moving on this, unless there's strong objections on keep on moving. Anybody wants to speak quickly on this? Okay. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, everybody. Let's next slide, please. Okay, so there's some housekeeping issues here. Interesting. Maybe staff, somebody, Emily, can help out here.
Thanks, Javier. This is Emily Barbas from staff. We just briefly wanted to touch base on some logistical changes that are going to be happening on the upcoming call and future calls for WorkTrack 5. So basically, there's a new telephone service provider. And for those who are dropping, please check carefully your invites for the upcoming meeting and the call details. That's the take-home message. You can see here on the slide, and this information will also be in the invitation for the upcoming call. Basically, if you're dialing in, the number is going to change, and there's a slightly different interaction flow when you get on the call. So you're going to have a different method for entering the passcode, and you're going to record your name, which is just a little bit different. Everything else stays the same. We're still using Adobe Connect. The functionality will all be, you know, the same quality, but this is a way to save a little bit of money, and hopefully it will not have a big impact. So please do read your invitations carefully before you dial into the call next time. Thanks.
Thank you, Emily. Okay, so next slide. Do we have what's next? Is any other business? What's next? Next slide, please. Is there a next slide?
No more.
Yeah, I don't have it printed out that after the last one. So what's the next slide? Is it any other business?
Oh yeah, we don't have any more slides. We have finished.
Oh, perfect.
Perfect in under the line. Perfect timing, Javier. Well done.
Okay, so thanks to all. I think we've had a good discussion today on very specific ways forward. Thanks to all that participated on the chat and speaking. And please continue doing what you're doing in the email. I think we have, you know, the specific drafting of some of the language of the recommendations. I hope we can see some quick recommendations by the WorkTrack today and tomorrow. So maybe we can put out a more consensual text out in the consensus call process. So with that said, good day, good afternoon, good evening to all. Bye-bye and see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, Annabeth. Thanks, Javier. Bye for now.
Bye.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference. Please remember to disconnect all lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.